Do you want to play a game? Bloody Mary, I have your baby. Bloody Mary, I have your
light
baby.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Do you want to play a game?
Stiff as a board.
Needles, pins, elephants, skins. What goes up the chimney smoke? May your wish and my wish never be broke. Baby blue, blue
Bloody
baby.
Mary, I have your baby.
Concentrate.
Do you want to play a game?
People are dying. Children are crying. Concentrate.
I think he's dead.
I know he's dead.
Light as a feather.
He feels dead.
Stiff as a board.
He looks dead. He is dead.
Concentrate.
I believe in Bloody Mary.
Do you want to play a game?
Hello, and welcome back to the darkened rooms and dying fire that is our annual All Hallows read. Once again, we return to the world of play and games to see what turns up. I can almost guarantee it won't be anything as simple as a slice of plastic trivia pie or a full house. Although tonight's tale does indeed involve adding someone or something new to a circle of friends and a household. But more of that in a moment. You know already that while you can probably figure out how many of these games work from the stories you hear, I cannot advise you to try them yourself. I can't stop you either, of course, but all consequences are your own, play at your own risk. The story I've selected for you tonight comes from games played by teenagers for well over 75 years, and the precedents for the actual game involved go back almost 150 years, and even beyond that in some ways. We're dragging out the old slumber party favorite, the Ouija board, in the middle of a dark night when no one can sleep and everyone has questions. There are plenty of warnings about using such boards to communicate with the spiritual world, and for the most part, they seem to be harmless and fun for the vast majority of those who use them. Every once in a while, though, stories come along about a particular spirit or entity that seems drawn to the kind of communications Ouija sessions enable, and to the young people who use them, too. Messages about secret crushes or family drama are always worth a giggle, but what happens if the messages coming through start to take on a darker tone? Clear your mind now, and light a candle. Let's all put our hands on the planchette as we hear the story of the talking board. Tamara sat cross-legged on the floor of Lucy Perkins' bedroom in the dark, giggling as Lucy slowly approached her with a big, fat, scented Yankee candle between her hands. The sophomore girls and their freshman friend Caroline were careful not to let giggling turn into laughter because they were trying very hard not to wake up Lucy's sister or parents. They knew that while Ouija boards weren't forbidden, playing with them in the wee hours of the morning might be seen as disobeying the 17th lights out command from Lucy's mom, and they could already tell she was exasperated at the girls. Still, she'd okayed the sleepover, and as far as Tamara and her friends were concerned, expectations of sleep and obedience were forfeited once that permission had been given up. Still, there was something about the ritual being somewhat taboo, a little bit forbidden, if only because it might wake somebody up. That made it really exciting. As Lucy sat down next to the board, the clean linen scent filling the room along with the flickering candlelight, all three girls reached for the planchette in the center of the board. As their fingers, painted with bright but already chipping polish from earlier in the evening, touched the cursor, they slowly made it circle the board three times. Ouija spirits, we call out to you. Come and speak to us, they said, nearly bursting into giggles before they could finish. They came to rest on the center of the board, waiting patiently. The board was Caroline, so they decided she should ask the questions, but she said nothing for a moment, letting the laughter settle. The mood went from silly to somber in the quiet, and when Caroline finally did speak, it made Tamara jump. Is anyone there? For a moment, nothing happened. Then, slowly, the planchette began to slide. Tamara was sure she wasn't moving it, but she was equally sure Lucy must be. Caroline was too much of a believer to try to trick them both. Or maybe that would make her move it, Tamara thought, because she wanted so badly to prove it. The slider landed on yes, and Caroline asked the spirit to spell its name. Slowly, it went from letter to letter. T-H-I-S-I-S-D-U-M-B. Lucy, barked Caroline, and all three girls burst into laughter again, then quickly covered their mouths to stifle the noise. They listened carefully, inhaling the scent of very fresh laundry in the darkness, before finally relaxing again. Come on, Lucy. At least give it a fair try. Don't move it this time, said Caroline. Yeah, Luce, I want to see what will happen, too. I know you think it's stupid, but okay, fine, Tamara. I won't mess with it, said Lucy, rolling her eyes. But don't blame me if we sit here staring at our hands until we pass out and the candle burns down the house. They settled in again. Caroline asking her questions. Again, there was stillness and quiet. She asked again, nothing. Once more, she asked, we invite any spirit out there listening to come to our board and talk to us. Please give us a sign you're here. Almost instantly, the planchette trembled under their fingers. Lucy, don't, started Tamara. But Lucy shook her head. The girls felt their hair stand on end, watching the little triangle vibrate on the board. Then suddenly it shot from under their fingers and across the room, banging into Lucy's dresser, and they froze. What should we do? Asked Tamara. Caroline calmly and slowly got up to retrieve the cursor. We asked for a sign. It gave us one, she said, her voice shaking only a little. We need to talk to it. To what? Whispered Lucy, clearly not happy about the sudden turn in the evening's frivolous fun. We don't even know what this is. We should stop. No, she's right, said Tamara. We can't just stop because it did what we wanted. What if that makes it angry? Maybe let's just ask it a question or two and then, you know, do the closing ritual. That way we've done everything right, right? Lucy paused, considering, and slowly nodded. They gathered back at the board, placing their fingers on the planchette again, and Caroline asked it if a spirit was here. Quickly, the slider pointed to yes. Caroline asked it its name, and it seemed to pause, not moving. Then it slid slowly down over the letters, all of them, one at a time, as if reading them, puzzling them over, and finally, it began to spell Z-O-Z-O-Z-O-Z-O-Z-O. Okay, Zozo, said Caroline. Trying to remain calm. That's your name, right? What do you want? Again, there was a pause, and then a slide of the pointer to F-R-I-E-N-D. A friend? That's it, said Lucy. Tamara felt a small wave of relief. Maybe this wasn't such a bad spirit after all. Ask if it's a boy or a girl. She said. And Caroline did. But the cursor began to go back to the Z and the O, and then Z, O, Z, O, Z, O, Z, O, again and again. The girls were puzzled. Caroline asked if the spirit was human, and the planchette stopped dead on the board. She waited a moment and asked Zozo if it was still there. It moved the pointer to yes, then F-R-I-E-N-D, then began spelling its name again, C-O-Z-O-Z-O-Z-O-Z-O. We need to stop this, said Lucy. The other girls nodded, but the slider suddenly shifted to no. The girls tried to move it, but it wouldn't move. Let go, wailed Caroline. The cursor circled the board rapidly and came back to no. Leave us alone. What do you want? Sobbed Lucy, fingers stuck to the planchette, as were the other girls. The pointer moved, then suddenly H, then E, then R. Her? Her who? Go away! Shouted Lucy, but the planchette began to circle the board rapidly, furiously, so fast it began to leave scratch marks. Then once again it shot out of their fingers and across the room, slamming into the door. They heard a yelp from the other side, and the door opened. Lucy's little sister Mina stood there, looking frightened and confused and upset. What are you all doing? Who threw that? She asked. Tamara and Lucy sat there, crying quietly, while Caroline stared, open-mouthed, at the door. And the cursor beside Mina's feet, before Mina turned around, saying, I'm telling Mom you were lighting candles in the morning, and walked back to her room. The girls tried their best to ignore that anything weird had happened. At school, they focused on books and boys and clubs and what movie they should go see that weekend. Nothing scary, they agreed. Tamara was able to put it mostly behind her, write it off as something weird. She wasn't even going to play with the Ouija board again, she was sure. But other than that, she was fine, she told herself. Lucy was definitely more shaken. She seemed restless. She said she was having trouble sleeping. She kept hearing things in her house, scratching noises behind the walls. Her parents said they thought squirrels must have gotten in and called an exterminator, but they didn't find anything except the skeleton of a bird between the walls of Mina and Lucy's bedroom. They thought maybe a cat had gotten in, eaten the bird, and then gotten out again and sealed all the openings that they could find, but Lucy kept hearing the scratching. Caroline, on the other hand, had gotten quiet. Sullen. Surly, almost. She said little to her friends, and Tamara thought that maybe she was afraid Lucy blamed her for things going wrong. They hadn't closed the board properly, Tamara knew, but was Caroline going to blame them for that? Tamara caught Caroline staring at Lucy during lunch, a look of utter hatred in her eyes, and wondered if they had had a fight she didn't know about, but Lucy never mentioned it, and Caroline slowly stopped talking to them, sitting with them, or being around them at all. During every subsequent sleepover, Caroline brought the board, tried to convince the others to play again, but Tamara and Lucy said no. Twice, Tamara woke up in the night to find Caroline sitting in the bathroom, hands on the planchette, board out on the floor, as if she was waiting for something. Tamara would convince her to put it away and go to bed before Lucy woke up, but Caroline began to look at Tamara the same way she looked at Lucy during lunch that day. And finally, Lucy began to get angry that Caroline would even bring the board. She told her to leave it at home. Caroline ignored her. After Lucy screamed at her one night, Caroline said, I thought we were friends, with a slow, cold smile. And she didn't say anything else after that. Then the messages started. Caroline no longer spent any time with them, but they would find her staring at them from across the courtyard at lunch, or from the back of the science lab. They knew her grades were slipping, since the teachers would get upset with her when she didn't cooperate in class. She had to go to the principal's office more than once. And all the while, notes began appearing in Lucy's locker, all of them saying the same things. Friend. Or her. Lucy confronted Caroline angrily about it one day, but Caroline said nothing, just smiled, even as Lucy's face flushed hot, tears rolling down her cheeks, and she shoved her former friend against the wall. Mr. Harker, the English teacher, pulled them apart and sent Lucy to the office. Lucy got an in-school suspension. She tried to tell them about the notes, but somehow she hadn't managed to keep any of them. They were all just gone. And then there was the song. At first, they hadn't noticed it, really. They'd go to see a movie, and the song playing before the film was that Randy Newman one from the Toy Story movie, You've Got a Friend in Me. When it happened the next time Tamara and Lucy went to the movies, they figured it was just the pre-movie soundtrack. But then they heard it again in the mall, and in the car on the way home. And slowly, it just seemed to be everywhere. Tamara heard it at least 3 times a day. Lucy seemed to hear it even more than that. It shouldn't have bothered them. They knew it was silly, dumb. But Lucy seemed to be cracking because of it. Her own grades were slipping a little. She quit the band when Mr. Tepe, the band teacher, selected You've Got a Friend in Me for the winter program performance as a last-minute change. Through it all, Lucy seemed to be getting worried. Mina was hearing the scratching, too. She'd begun finding little notes in her shoes or under her bed, all saying, Friend? With a question mark at the end. She thought it was Lucy doing it at first, but Mina quickly figured out it wasn't her sister, who seemed even more distressed about it than Mina did herself. Finally, Tamara, Lucy, and Mina were in the mall together one Sunday afternoon when Caroline walked by, smiling at them, and then slowly began to whistle, You've Got a Friend in Me. Lucy snapped and screamed, trying to fly at Caroline, and she hit her. Mina ducked back, looking frightened, as Tamara grabbed her friend and held her back. Caroline just stood grinning for a moment, then left, still whistling the song. Caroline wasn't in school the next Monday, or any day after that. No one knew where she'd gone or what had happened to her. Rumors went around that she'd run away from home or that she'd gotten into drugs or weird behavior fed the story mill, and most seemed to think she'd skipped town. Caroline's absence had a positive effect on Lucy, who seemed to be doing a little bit better. Her grades were coming back up. She looked like she was more relaxed at school. Tamara even heard her laugh more often. The song still seemed to follow them both, but they could put it out of their mind now that Caroline wasn't always lurking. One day, just before the end of the fall term, though, Lucy opened her locker and screamed. A flood of little wads of paper, most of them looking as though they'd been chewed up and then put into the locker, fell out. Tamara was with Lucy and saw the few dry notes all said the same thing, Friend, scrawled in lipstick all over the inside of Lucy's locker was the other word. Her. Lucy's family left town for the break. When they came back, Lucy seemed calmer, more relaxed again, Tamara noticed, although she suspected there was medication involved given how heavy-lidded and sedate her friend seemed. Mina was looking nervous now, too, although Tamara couldn't tell if it was anything related to her or if it was concern for Lucy. As the old year ended and the new year began, though, things seemed to have reached a peaceful, if restive, equilibrium. And then she started showing up at Lucy's house. At night. Just standing outside. Caroline was there, just staring up at the window. But not Lucy's window. Mina's window. Lucy told Tamara about it, hovering on the verge of tears. They'd called the police, but every time they arrived, Caroline was already gone. They never could catch her, even as they began posting officers in the neighborhood to do regular drive-bys. No matter what they did, Lucy would still wake up in the night, look out the window, and see Caroline standing there in her school clothes, despite it being the dead of winter, staring up at Mina's window. Mina knew all about it, and began sleeping in Lucy's room. As soon as she did, however, Lucy saw that Caroline had shifted her focus. She looked out one evening in early January and locked eyes with Caroline, staring up with hard, cold eyes. An icy grin. Her eyes looked like a doll's, staring straight into Lucy's window. And Caroline mouthed the word, her, as Lucy screamed. She looked over at Mina for only a second to make sure her sister was okay, but when she looked back, Caroline was gone. Tamara watched her best friend turn hollow, lose herself. Watched Lucy's family come apart, watched the parents lose their children to paranoia, depression, and worse. Lucy attempted suicide one evening in the bathroom and was found by Mina. They managed to save her, but Mina blamed herself. The parents blamed each other. Things fell to pieces. Lucy and Mina got worse, always hearing scratching, hearing you've got a friend in me, seeing Caroline in their dreams, imagining her standing in their bedrooms, grinning down at them. They didn't really sleep anymore, and they weren't ever really awake. Finally, the whole family decided to move. It broke Tamara's heart, but she knew they needed this, a fresh start. Tamara helped them pack, a way to be close to her friend until the end. It was while they were getting the basement packed away that Tamara saw it. Behind a stack of old boxes full of clothes to donate that no one had gotten around to yet, she saw the door handle to a utility closet. Opening it, she screamed. It was like a little nest, with ratty blankets and scattered chip packets. And all over the walls were pasted pictures of Mina, her eyes cut out or scratched into black holes by an ink pen. Everywhere in ink and lipstick and God knew what else were the words Zozo and her. What made Tamara scream, however, was Caroline. Caroline, who had been living there all the while, Caroline, who had been sneaking into bedrooms and onto the lawn almost nightly. Caroline, who had been fighting against something they didn't even know. Caroline, who lay on the floor of the closet, a wide, cold grin on her face, her dark eyes glittering, a knife in her hand. A gash in her throat, and blood pooled, sticky and cold all around her. Caroline, who had used her own blood to write one last word on the door to the closet. Friend.